Welcome to Gal Pals Watch. I'm Alicia.
I'm Sarah.
And this is a podcast where we discuss queer lady films.
Mm-hmm. How succinct.
Broadly defined.
Broadly defined. That should be our slogan now. I think it is our slogan now.
It's like our little tagline, broadly defined.
Mm-hmm.
And that has like, I don't know. It reminds me of boobs. It is boobs. It is done. Boobs. Speaking of boobs, what?
There were some in this movie.
There were some in this movie. So today we'll be talking about Anatomy of a Love Scene. That's scene, S-E-E-N.
Yes, but it's an intentional pun because it's about filming a love scene, as in S-C-E-N-E.
Wow, we're really spelling today.
We are smart. Ish.
Smart.
We could maybe do the SATs. Just kidding. I would fail if I tried to do that now.
Only part of it.
Only part of it. Yes. The math part.
Yes. It's garbage.
Yeah. Anyway. When was this movie made, Alicia?
If you can already tell, we're a little tired.
Yes.
It was made in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Director is Marina Rice Bader, I believe. Yes. I'm saying that right.
I'm pretty sure that's right. She was in it, too.
Yes, she's in it.
She plays the director.
Yeah.
Which is very meta.
It is super meta.
Or it's, like, a little bit meta.
A little.
I don't know what level meta it is.
A little.
Are there different levels of meta?
I don't know. I'm sure there is.
I need to stop talking.
But what I found interesting about her was that, so she was the executive producer for Elena Undone.
Mm-hmm.
And she started Soul Kiss Productions,
yes.
So which obviously produced this film as well as Elena Undone. And other ones too, I believe, you know, ones that we haven't talked about yet, but
yeah.
Like Raven's Touch and something else, I believe.
I think she might have worked with Mandala Rose on something at some point, and I forgot to confirm this, but... Mandala Rose, if you don't know, we interviewed her several episodes ago, so you can go back and listen to that.
Yeah, back in June.
Cool. Oh, yeah, it was in June.
Yeah.
I forgot. Yeah, Pride Month.
Yeah.
It was a Pride Month thing.
Which was a while ago.
Yeah. Oh, man. Can't believe it. But, yeah, well, she's very cool. But regardless, they were on a panel together at Klexicon last year. And so I saw that panel, and they were talking about... Actually, it was about... filming sex scenes. That was what the panel was about.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And it was a very entertaining panel. I really enjoyed it. But I think they referenced something, some project they were working on together, but now I forget. So, shouldn't have even brought it up.
No, but do you remember any, like, takeaways from that panel?
Yes. So, also, Christine from Telefilms was on that panel.
Awesome.
And they talked about... like the choreography of it, and then like also the atmosphere on set, and like trying to make it as comfortable as possible, and like how awkward it is sometimes.
Yeah, you get that in this movie too.
Totally.
I do like the premise of this movie and like the idea of it.
I actually, because I didn't know really what it was about before I went into it.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I was like, oh, this movie, like, I don't know, maybe I could get into this. And then as it went along, I was like, this movie sucks. But we'll get to that.
Yeah. I believe
But it's interesting.
Yeah, I believe the premise was really interesting. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was like the dialogue and the characters that didn't hold up for me.
Same.
But the whole premise is that basically these two actors fall in love with each other on set,
mm-hmm.
Filming this one particular love scene.
Mm-hmm.
But then... they have to go back and reshoot it.
After they've broken up.
Yeah, after
and
they've broken up.
And they are the most melodramatic lesbians you've ever seen.
Yes.
Oh,
everyone feel... like, I just wrote, everyone feels too much in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many feelings going on. But most of them, at least in the beginning, are not, like, direct feelings.
Yeah, it really bothered me how much everyone was trying to walk on eggshells. It just annoyed me.
Yeah.
And they were just like, I don't know. The way one of the characters, I think she, I forget her name, but she was like the assistant to the director.
Oh, yeah, Anne.
Anne, yeah. She was like trying to get them to drink like calming tea and like talking about energy and stuff. And she had this one scene that really made me crack up because they had this big explosive fight. It wasn't a fight. It was just like a moment. They didn't fight. It's just that like suddenly they couldn't keep going in the scene. And so they went off and were like crying.
Decompressed and, or whatever.
And so she took both of their hands and was like, okay, now you say one thing you like about this person and then you say one thing you like about this person. And I was like, this is exactly what I used to do when I was nannying for these two kids that would fight all the time. And I would try that and it totally backfired because they would say shit like, the thing I like about them is that they really suck at baseball. It's like, well, that didn't work. But anyway.
Yeah, it is, showing empathy and practicing empathy.
I tried.
That part, yes, you tried. And I did like that part in this movie. How, even though, like, I feel like we all have a friend like Anne or we know someone like Anne who's just, like, very much of a hippie and, like, probably carries around her astrological chart with her.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you can do that, y'all. But
I mean, lesbians will find a way.
And basically she's just very much about energy and making sure everyone is seen and comfortable. But at the same time she's very like subservient in a way to Kara, who's the director. She will basically do anything for her, and
she's got not in a good way puppy hard eyes.
Oh yeah,
for her
puppy hard eyes for sure. Yeah, she wants to do anything she can for her, but yeah, at the same time it's a bit damaging.
All the relationships are damaging in this movie, I think.
Yeah, there is no real happy ending.
No,
in this film, just spoiler alert there. I don't know, the parts that I just didn't like were the parts where Kara, the director, and Zoe, the blonde chick, basically.
There's a blonde chick and redhead.
Yeah.
What was her name again?
Mal.
Yeah.
Mal and Zoe. Bad. So Zoe's played by Sharon Hinnendale. I believe I'm saying that right. And Mal, played by Jill Evan. But basically, Zoe's character is being, like, very babied by Kara.
Oh, my God. Whole thing with the war room. Kara set up, like, a quote-unquote war room, which was basically a bunch of curtains hung in a corner with, like, a comfy chair in it and some twinkle lights, and was like, Zoe, if you need to, anytime during today, just come be in here. This is for you. This is for you. We need you to be happy. We need to... It's just like, oh, God, this is annoying to watch.
Yeah, she just kept, like... I don't know. I feel like there's a difference between being a supportive friend and doing whatever the hell Kara was doing.
Yeah.
Because...
Was trying to get a good scene. It seemed like that was her primary motivation.
Yeah. Well,
which makes sense.
Yeah, at least in the beginning.
Yeah.
You find out that's the primary motivation, and then... what we think is the primary motivation. And then we find out later it's that she wants the girls to get back together.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
That's fine.
Because I started to get really bored and then my mind drifted.
She does want to get a good scene in the end so they can, you know, fall back in love with each other, right? Mm-hmm. So she wants Zoe to be as chill as possible.
Yeah.
But Zoe's like the opposite of chill.
Oh, my God.
She's one of those people that's like, I'm calm!
Yeah. I feel fucking great! But Mal is not chill.
No.
Mal's not chill either.
No one's chill.
No
Everyone
one's chill.
Has 0% chill.
Yeah.
But I feel like out of all the characters, I like Mal the most.
I would agree with that.
Just because she's like, she's the least dramatic out of all of them. And I feel like...
She's still really dramatic.
Oh, yeah, super.
But the least out of all of them.
Yeah, I guess, like, the whole, like, conflict of this film is that they broke up with each other, and basically Mal just, like, walked out one day. And it's never... The other part of this movie that I don't really like is that it's... Nothing's really, like, explained fully. Mm-hmm. And I know that's probably a stylistic thing, but as the viewer, I'm like...
Yeah.
it's like, I don't know, frustration blue balls or whatever. I don't know how else to put it. It's just like, I'm so frustrated because I don't know how I can fix it.
Yeah.
Or like what the
You're
solution
an
is. I am an Anne. I am such an Anne. I don't know. It's just like, no one's really like, no one's a direct communicator.
Oh no. That also really annoyed me, is that there was so much like, you know, like back and forth going around, everyone talking to each other about everyone else, like trying to, like, I don't know. It just, it really annoyed me that nobody spoke to each other in a direct manner about what they were trying to do.
Yeah. A lot of what Zoe was saying, like her lines were essentially like, I just like, I don't get it, and I don't want to do blah blah blah, and I don't,
Yeah.
And it was very much like,
it was like stereotypical Valley girl.
Yeah.
Kind of.
She was talking a lot, but nothing was being said.
Yes.
You know? And that's how I feel about a lot of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of talking and nothing happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just a lot of bad vibes from this movie.
I agree.
Yeah, and the director keeps like pushing them together.
Yeah. There's not much to say about this movie, I just realized.
This will be a very short episode, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it will.
But also, the movie goes very slowly.
It does.
I feel like, because
it's not that long. It's less than 2 hours.
Yeah. I think it's only like 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Which was enough time.
It was more than enough. This could have worked better as
a
short film.
Oh my God. Yes.
Jinx.
Yeah, it would have been really good as a short film.
It would have been,
actually.
Yeah.
That's a real game changer.
Mm-hmm.
It might have changed my whole like perception of this.
Me too. I think I would have liked it a lot more.
Yeah, because I feel like instances like this where not a lot happens,
mm-hmm,
in terms of like plot wise,
mm-hmm,
yeah, it's a lot easier for it to be in such a short I guess format, because
yeah,
you're not expecting a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You're not expecting a lot
in terms of action and plot and all
yeah,
that stuff.
And you're not expecting everything to
or
be
like
solved.
Like a huge story arc.
Yeah.
Like a lot of longer movies, that's kind of what you expect. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Mal left Zoe without explanation,
mm-hmm,
but we don't know why. We do know that Mal was an addict. We don't really know what kind.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know if she left because she was using, mm-hmm, or anything like that.
There's no evidence of her, like, physical evidence of her being an addict.
Yes.
Yeah. They just say it.
Yeah, and she's, like, talking to her sponsor. That's it. But, like, you
oh,
don't...
Oh, that's who she was talking to.
But we don't know that. It takes,
right,
like, forever, because she's just talking to this woman named Stephanie, and
mm-hmm,
you think, like...
I just assumed that was also her agent, because Zoe was talking to her agent on the phone at the same time. They kept cutting back and forth between them. So I was like, oh, I guess they're both just talking to their agents. I don't know.
Yeah, so that was her sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, again, just like one of those things where it's a little bit too ambiguous as to what's going on, that for a 90-minute film, it doesn't,
mm-hmm,
fit.
And then Zoe had that weird panic attack at the end.
Oh, yeah.
And then they just, like, ended up outside kneeling on the ground.
Yeah, so Zoe has, like, a panic disorder.
Yeah.
And she has a panic attack at one point, and...
She only had one, right?
No.
At the end?
She had, like, one kind of in the middle.
Okay.
Because that's the first time Mal kisses her.
Oh.
So she kisses her, and then... Zoe does that whole, like, oh my God, she just kissed me, but was she kissing me as an actor,
mm-hmm,
or blah, 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 blah.
And after her, like, whole speech about, she's an actress, I'm an actress, we're professionals,
we
can
do
this. Do
this.
No problem, I got
this. But she does have a panic attack at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's just kind of
not
sitting.
A weird panic attack. I didn't mean to say weird panic attack, but...
What she does during, or after it. It's a little strange.
It just
kind of sits there.
Right. Well,
outside.
That's not necessarily strange, but like...
No.
I think
sitting
it just,
outside in the rain the, part.
What I meant by weird panic attack is that it just, I don't know why that was there, like why that was part of
why
the plot.
It fit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not that it's weird to have a panic attack, because it's not.
You're just talking to two high-strung people.
Very.
And by talking, I mean listening to
you.
Yeah, and they just stare into each other's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how the movie ends.
Mm-hmm.
Though it does go back to the beginning and shows the love scene that they were filming. Like, the scene that made them fall in love with each other.
Oh. Wait, was that after the... Oh, okay, okay. So, after that scene where they're outside,
yeah.
kneeling on
Did
the ground...
Did you stop it?
I stopped it, because it said... Then, it like, the screen went black.
Yeah.
And it started to say what I thought was going to be the end, and then it just said the beginning.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm out of here. Well, it's over. I thought it was over. I thought the credits were coming after that, so
well,
I just stopped.
Not much happened. They just show you the original scene from when they first, like, fell in love with each other.
Okay.
But it's just a scene from the movie that they shot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Was it any different than what was in the beginning of the movie?
No.
Okay. So I didn't miss anything.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I don't know anymore.
Well, I did miss some stuff because I clearly wasn't paying close attention to this movie.
To be fair, I told Sarah that you could skip through it because...
You did tell me that. You enabled me.
I am an enabler. I did skip because there was a lot of this stuff. Like, I would skip, like, a couple minutes here and there because mm-hmm. I was like, oh,
yeah.
happening. And to be honest, I think I watched this movie before, or like I watched it halfway and I gave up on it. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God. And I was like, this is why I gave up on it. But.
Yeah.
And then, of course, me being me, when I would skip, I'm like, wait, I'm confused and I'd have to go back.
So it ended up being longer than it might have otherwise been.
Most definitely. I put myself through more pain.
Aww.
Trying to be smart about it, and I was not smart.
Why are there so many bad lesbian movies out there?
I don't know. This one ends with women crying and then having sex. But it's
hashtag
not really
lesbians.
Sex. But it's not really sex. It's a scene.
It's fake sex.
Even faker. Because it's, like, in a movie within a movie.
Yes. Double fake. Double fake out.
So it's, like, the perfect combo. Who doesn't want that? A real upper. I don't know why there are movies that are...
That was scary. It is Halloween next week.
Spooky.
When we're recording this.
Spooky-ween.
Spooky-ween.
I didn't do much research on it, but I know that there are a lot of interviews out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it started off as a short film mm-hmm. and then transferred its way into this. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Just meh.
So last week was the Seattle Queer Film Festival.
Yes.
I can talk. And I went to this thing that they do called Saturday Morning Cartoons.
Oh, I really wanted to go to that.
It was
at Cupcake
so
Royale.
Fun. No, it was at Northwest Film Forum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they set up like a cereal bar and you could like make cereal and
hell
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But if you want some good gay short films, holy shit, they were so good. So I went to Saturday Morning Cartoons and.
Saturday?
Yes. At the Seattle Queer Film Festival, and I have the names of the films right here, and I'm going to read them to you because they were all really good. One is called Sacré Non.
That must be French.
It was French, although they didn't speak any language in it, but it was made in France, I think. It was just computer animated, and it was about a priest who was a drag queen.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was really awesome. And then there was one called Bacchus, B-A-C-C-H-U-S.
That's like an old-timey kind of term, I think.
Yeah,
like
and that one was from Denmark, which is my mother's homeland.
So represent.
My literal motherland. And then there was one called Do You Even Care It All? Like, That one actually didn't like very much. And it was not, I didn't see how it was gay. Then there was one called I Wait for the Night. And one called The Dawn Comes, which was really cool. It was made by an indigenous woman. And it had like this genderqueer character. And it was like about how we, as Western society, suck at taking care of the earth. But then it was just like, I don't know. It was really good, and it was stop motion animated.
Oh wow!
It was so awesome.
I'm always so impressed by stop motion.
Mm-hmm. It's just so difficult. Me too. And it was kind of long. I was like, damn, this must have taken forever. Very impressive. Then there's one called Tenterese, which was really cool. It was like this woman who, she just is in the grind, you know, the rat race. Everyone's on their phone all the time. Story of my life. Like, she's at this bar with her coworkers, and everyone's just looking at their phones, and they smile for a selfie, and then they just go back to, like, looking bored on their phones. And this colorful woman walks by behind her, and so she follows her, and then it just becomes this, like, colorful explosion of, like, boobs and vaginas. It's really awesome.
Animated boobs.
Yeah, and, like, cool music and stuff. Then there's one called Queerer Than Thou, which was from the UK, where it was, like, these two characters who were trying to out-gay each other.
Oh, my God.
It was ridiculous, and it was really fun. And then there was one called Top Three, which is the Swedish one that I mentioned before. And the main character is this guy named Anton, and he falls in love with this other guy named David, and they have this kind of relationship that's, like, on and off, and he is always listing, like, top three things. And it's just, it was so cute and really funny and just, like, I don't know, I loved it. So those are some short films you can watch that are gay.
That know what they're talking about because they were short films instead of
that
90-minute film.
That exist in...
Now.
Yes.
In the now.
They exist in the now. They exist in a smaller, tighter frame.
Nice.
Than this one.
Yeah, and you can watch those instead of this.
Yeah.
This.
I don't know where to find them, but you might be able to find them on the internet.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks
and
for the
And if not,
recs.
Keep an eye on queer film festivals.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's really important to support those when you can.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to any other events for the Seattle Queer Fest?
I didn't.
That's okay.
I wanted to, and then, I don't know, it just didn't happen.
Same. I wanted to.
Yeah.
And... I work Saturdays usually, so I wasn't able to, and, you know, I get tired.
I know, me too. I'm an old lady. Yeah. So if you want more recommendations, this, like, half this podcast is not going to be about the movie that we're talking about.
There wasn't much to talk about with this movie. It was slow.
Well, I have a book recommendation. Surprise!
Surprise!
I recently finished Tegan and Sarah's memoir, High School.
Oh, I know. You're like, that really hit you.
It hit me so hard. I started listening to it again.
Oh.
I just, like, started it over again. Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
And then they have all this footage, like, these old recordings of them from when they were...
Yeah, teenagers,
teenagers. And they sound like babies. And I just am like, oh, so just, like, touched by it. It was so... But I think, because I was... Since I listened to that, I, like, went down a rabbit hole of, like, watching interviews with them and stuff. And they're 38 now.
What?
Yeah. And, like...
Wow.
Then I was thinking, like, man, I used to think that was
so
old.
I still think that
they're,
like, in their
20s. Yeah, well, I don't know.
Yeah, that's not that old.
Yeah.
At all anymore.
It's not that old.
It's not old.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm in my 30s, too, so...
You're like, oh shit.
Yeah. But... yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I was thinking about old. What did you just say? Something you said made me think of it.
I'm old. Oh, because I said I get tired, and you said we're old.
Yes. But Tegan and Sarah are older than us by a little bit, and they're not tired. Or maybe they are tired, but they do way more than I do.
Yeah, I was very hashtag blessed to see them.
I know you told me this also.
Several years ago, like... 2008, I believe.
Oh my God, prime time.
Right? It was like right before they got on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just kind of like played in Grey's Anatomy, which was nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so back in my home state of Rhode Island, there's a very famous folk festival happens every year, the Newport Folk Festival.
I know about
so
it.
So they got to perform, mm-hmm. and it was, like, so magical.
Oh, my God.
It was awesome. I still have a Tegan and Sarah shirt that, like, I've definitely grown out of,
mm-hmm.
but I'm probably never going to get rid of.
No, don't ever.
I'll probably keep make it. A pillow out of it.
Yeah, totally.
It's from the So Jealous album.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. Which I listen to, like,
they have so many albums. Time,
right?
They have 9 albums.
Yeah.
Studio albums.
They are
prolific. Yes. Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah.
This has been the Tegan and Sarah podcast.
With of the Alicia Sarah and Sarah and Tegan and Sarah. My name's with an H.
My name's with an A. At both ends.
Oh, God. This has been fun. Thanks for going on this journey.
So this has been our review of Anatomy of a Love Scene.
And some other stuff.
Yeah. It was the movie that we talked about, mm-hmm. Anatomy of a Love Scene, not the best. Mm-hmm. Everything else, awesome. Check that out. All right. And keep it... No. We need to do Rex. I mean...
Oh, yeah. Follow us on Twitter.
And you can follow us on Instagram, too. Galpals Watch.
Yep, Galpals Watch on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah. And email us at galpalswatch@gmail.com if you have any other recommendations, short films, whatever. We want to hear...
Short ones, long ones. If they're long and they're bad, we don't want to know.
We probably already have them on our list.
It's true, yeah.
Thank y'all for listening.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it hella gay!
It's so funny because, like, they're... Okay. There really isn't... Thanks, truck. Is it still driving around down there?
I can see its reflection. I think it's parked.
Okay.
We won't know until you start talking, though.
Yeah. Once I start talking, it'll go again. Okay. I forgot what I was going to say.